We're going to continue in our worship, worship in spirit and in truth. And so we're going to talk about another aspect of worship next week. Hopefully we're going to at least explore a little bit about worship. Jesus said this just after his baptism, the Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then a little bit later, actually 3 years later, at the end of Jesus' ministry, he looked at his disciples and his followers and he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. One of the math professors asked me to put this question mark in here. What do those three dots mean? What was that?
Therefore.
One more time.
Therefore,
the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let's all read that together. I want to hear you guys read. I want to make sure y'all can read, okay? Here we go. Read it together. The Spirit of the Lord. Do you believe that? Do we really believe that? It's the truth. It is the truth. Now, how does this happen? It happens as we are walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. It begins with each one of us as we are walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. A little bit later in the service, I'm going to tell on myself this week because I failed big time this week. Okay, now last week, you guys just totally disappointed me. Now, did anyone do their homework last week? If you did, please smile and look at the person next to you. If you didn't, I don't know what I'm going to do. Next week, maybe I'm going to have everyone stand who didn't do it. I don't know. Okay, big picture of worship. We're going to take a big picture of worship. And we're going to look at a couple different passages. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. Here's what Psalm 19 says. The heavens declare, and if you're taking notes, that's the first blank. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Let me read that one more time in case you guys missed any of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth. This is called by theologians natural revelation. Natural revelation. And in Romans, that was the Old Testament and New Testament, Romans 18, chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what was made known about God is plain to them. It's plain to them because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And then this chapter goes on and on and on. It says three times God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. Because the truth about God's all over the place. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. You cannot miss it. In fact, when I was in college and I know that's a century ago now. I studied linguistics, and back then, there was no known culture that did not have the concept of the Creator God. There was not a known culture that did not have the concept or a word for the Creator God. But it's just like what Romans 1 says. They all know about this Creator God, but they worship something on the ground or this or that, something that's closer to them that they think that will really make a change in their life. Every known culture knows about God. How can you miss Him? Even an atheist, in order to be an atheist, you got to deny God exists. And an agnostic says you can't know about God. Well, the very statement is self-defeating. You got to know about something to deny it, right? Humanity's very existence, our existence, brings glory to God. I said this the other week. It's like in America. You know, we've got this thing called free speech, an inalienable right that we believe that everyone has free speech. And there are so many people that take advantage of that and speak out in crazy ways, arguing that they can burn the flag, that they can do all this stuff. Well, it's the freedom that was purchased for us that allows them to do that. Try that somewhere else. Almost anywhere else. And you just disappear. The very ability to speak out in that way declares the greatness of this experiment called North America, actually the United States of America. As believers, and this is where we're going to focus in, as believers, we can bring glory to God on two levels. We can glorify God on two levels. I hope you can see this next one, the first level. If you can't, the word underlined there is first. First, our very existence brings glory to God. First, our very existence brings glory to God. Second, whenever we freely choose to worship, we doubly glorify God. This morning, we're glorifying God by being here. We're glorifying God by honoring. The guys here yesterday working on the church facility were glorifying God by serving Him in that way. I don't know if I was glorifying God sneaking out. Actually, I came in because I had an appointment and I was working on the message. Jesus said, worship in spirit and in truth. And we're going to look at that today. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? What does that mean? There's lots. This is a huge, big topic, and we're just going to scratch the surface. But what does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Actually, it's Jesus and the woman at the well. That is where we discover. That's where Jesus said that His followers, His believers, children of God, will worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus and the woman at the well. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 4. And if you need spectacles like I do, get your spectacles out too, because we're gonna just walk through John chapter 4 and look at some cool stuff. Verses 1 through 14 there, or 1 through 24. So we're going to be there a little while. And yeah, there's going to be some rabbit trails. Let me get my spectacles on. I lost my other spectacles. I got to wear my these. I lost my real cool ones. I only have my semi-cool ones on now. These ones fold up real small. John chapter 4. I should have marked it in here. These pages get thinner every year, don't they? John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. When the Lord learned of this, He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground near Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Okay, so we all know this, but just to review, Samaria is the land of what? Half-breeds. The land of half-breeds. They were not pure Jews. And so the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. In fact, they wouldn't even talk with them. They wouldn't associate with them. They wouldn't do anything. Because what happened in approximately 722, Assyria came in and conquered the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And the Assyrians, how they would conquer is, instead of deporting people, they would import their own people and intermarry. And that way, you know, hey, we've got in-laws and outlaws. Maybe that's where the first thing came from. So they would intermarry to maintain peace and take control. And so they became the Samaritans. Okay, you with me? True Jewish people, they were very proud of their heritage. And they would have nothing to do with Samaritans that were intermarried with the Assyrians. Okay, got that? And then the other thing, sixth hour. Yesterday at the sixth hour, I went and got lunch, whether they wanted it or not. 6 hour means it was already 6 hours into the day. Sunlight till 6 hour gets us around noon. So it was noon. It was toasty warm. Has anyone been to Israel? Is it warm or cold in Israel? You know, it takes so much off, and you wish you could take even more if you're in Israel. I'm telling you, it is hot there. It is hot. So it's the sixth hour. Who in their right mind works on the deck in the hot sun? Who in their mind would go out to get water at noon? No one, except someone that wanted to avoid all people. Someone that was afraid that they would become ridiculed or something of that nature. And so we have the woman, this woman, who goes out at noon to get water. That's like going to Myrtle Beach and playing golf at noon. You ever done that? Only the crazy people do, because it's discounted. And no one goes out there except my brother and I and Scott, apparently, because it's like half price, third price, tenth of the price, because you're nuts to go out there in the heat of the day. So here's Jesus tired. He sits down at this well. No one, true Jews do not talk to Samaritans, much less this woman, because the only reason this woman was coming out there because everyone knew that she was a what? A lady of the evening. We'll say it just nice. She was a lady of the evening. And she wanted to avoid everyone. Okay, let's continue on. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Jesus took the initiative. Hey, can you give me a drink of water? Now, here's someone. Does anyone remember Red Skelton? When I was a little kid, I remember Red Skelton. One of his shows, here's the cure to I won't touch you with a 10-foot pole. He brought out a 20-foot pole. He had that kind of silly humor. This is a woman that no one would touch even with a 20-foot pole. And what does Jesus do? Hey, can I have a drink? Man, he just steps right in and starts talking to her. He just steps in and starts talking to her. Now, I believe in my heart of hearts that the Holy Spirit whispered to him, speak to her, because she's a daughter of Abraham as well. Now, she didn't think she was. She's hiding from people. She's full of shame and guilt and all kinds of stuff. Because she's sneaking out in the hot of the day where no one's going to be there. Because you know the women of the town will shun her and the men of the town would shun her too. Except at night. So let's keep on going. So Jesus says, would you give me a drink of water? The Samaritan woman said to him, there is so much in this passage, we're just going to skim over. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Then Jesus sticks the hook in deeper. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink of water, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Guys, were we thirsty yesterday? Man, we went through all the water I could find in this building. And that wasn't even enough. I bought even more. But everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to her, give me this water so I don't have to come out here, so I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Ouch. This is a rabbit trail. Living together doesn't make you married. Jesus said it. Living together doesn't make you married. It means you're living in sin. I don't know how many couples have come to me, they're living together, and they ask me to officiate at their wedding. Well, if you stop living together, because God won't bless sin. Show me anywhere in Scripture that God will bless sin. He doesn't. And living together doesn't cut it. God will not bless sin. Now, I think Jesus asked this question to show her and prove to her that he was a prophet, that he was truly the Messiah, who she now begins to recognize, wow, this guy knows everything I did. Maybe there is something to this. So it goes on. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. I guess so. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. Now that's absolutely true. Because what happened was, all the Jews, the 10 northern kingdom, all were to come to Jerusalem to worship. That's what God commanded. But then when the Assyrians captured them, they set up their own worship because they knew they couldn't control the 10 northern tribes if they didn't have a place for them to worship. They set up a separate place to worship apart from Jerusalem. Are you with me? The enemy will always try and give us other places to worship rather than the true God. We can worship our families. We can worship money. We can worship our cars, vehicles, whatever it is. God will, or the enemy will always give us false things to worship. And that way try and control us. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. At that point, they really didn't know what to worship. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. The lineage of the Messiah came through the Jews. Yet the time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit here. Witnessing opportunities. They're all around us. They really are. And again, I told you I'm going to confess how I screwed up this week. Here's what typically happens. There's a situation, and the Holy Spirit leads, and that equals a witnessing opportunity. A situation occurs, Holy Spirit's leading, and equals a witnessing opportunity. This week, there was a young man in our parking lot. He spent the night, one night, then he spent another night, and then he was in the car all day long in the hot day. I told the elders about it, and I know usually Pastor Trevor goes and talks to those guys. So about 3 o'clock, I decided, okay, I got all my other work done. I'm going to go and talk to, I'm going to see if he's alive even. He might be dead. But as soon as I walked out the door, Barry pulled up. Because Barry had some other stuff he was going to do up here. And I got to be honest, just before I walked out, I just got this email that one of my friend's wife died of cancer. So I was not in the best of mindsets. And I was about to kick his butt off here if he was alive. I really was. That was my mindset. My mindset was to go confront this guy hard. So we go out there in the parking lot, and Barry joined me. I told Barry he's been there, and it looks like he's dead. It does. I tap him, and he comes awake, and in all honesty, I got my gun in my pocket. I didn't know it was going to happen. I had my gun in my pocket. It's all legal. I've got a concealed permit. I got my hand on my gun in my pocket, and Barry's out there. And the guy wakes up, and inside of me, I'm just, dude, you got to leave. But Barry started talking to him. Barry asked him how he was, what he was doing, what's going on. Barry invited him to church. I'm ready to blow him away, and Barry's inviting him to church. Now, I'm confessing this. I failed. Everyone see that in bold red caps? Exclamation, I failed. Barry excelled. Barry showed mercy. Here's the situation. Good grief. He came to the church. How stupid can I be sometimes? Please don't answer that. God brought him here to the church. And what do I want to do? I want to kick his butt into next week. But Barry, and I'm quiet, I'm thinking, my mind's not straight. And that's an excuse. You know what an excuse is? We had many evangelists come as I was growing up. An excuse is a shell of a reason stuffed full of a lie. All I had was excuses. Barry excelled. He talked to the guy. He invited the guy to church. Come here. And I'm thinking. But afterward, as I'm reflecting and as I'm working on the message and the Holy Spirit convicted me, you chucklehead, you blew it. I brought him to you. And you blew it. Now, does God still love me? Please say yes. You may not, but God does. And he likes me, despite this. All I'm saying is, you never know when you're going to have the opportunity. A situation comes up, and the Holy Spirit nudges. You know, was it an accident that the moment I stepped out that door, Barry pulls in the parking lot? God knew I was going to blow it. So he brought Barry. Amen? So all I'm saying, I'm confessing this to you guys so that you don't make the same mistake I did. My goodness, he brought him here. Don't go with your gut. Your gut's almost always wrong. Don't go with your gut. Go with what the Holy Spirit is whispering. Please. You know, we didn't read on, But your disciples went off and they brought bread. And when they came back and they saw Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and they didn't do this, but they're, Jesus, here's bread, here's bread, here's bread. It was like me yesterday with those men. Hey, I got pizza, I got pizza, I got food. Come on down. Man, they were still 20 minutes up there working away before they finally came down. Are you with me? Man, situations happen every day. Follow the Holy Spirit's nudging, just like Jesus did. He initiated a conversation with someone that no one would talk to. Barry initiated a conversation and I was ready to kick his butt. Back to John 4. Jesus said that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. What did he mean by in spirit and in truth? In spirit, I believe is, and if you can't see it, that says in spirit. And so that's a blank in your notes. Being born again, born from above, and in spirit is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was not filled with the Holy Spirit when I went out there to kick his butt. Self was in control, not the Holy Spirit. You should have seen Barry. Barry started talking to the guy. How you doing? How you making it? Started witnessing to him, invited him to church. That was a good example. Mine was in the flesh. Let's just look at this diagram. I create these diagrams. Every diagram falls short. Here's Adam and Eve before the fall. Healthy body, healthy soul, and the spirit so that they could commune with God. Everything was perfect. Everything was great. Adam and Eve after the fall. The body begins to decay and die. The soul becomes corrupted by sin and selfishness. They're unable to commune with God. No longer do they have intimacy with God. The spirit instantly died. The moment that they sinned, the spirit instantly died. Receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, being born again, new birth, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is born anew in us. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now we are able to commune with God again. Born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You've seen this slide before. So, now the Holy Spirit begins to invade all of who we are. He gets more of us. He invades all of us. So now we're communing with God. That's the norm. That's the norm. Do you know how you sense His presence here when we're worshiping and we're here now? That should be the norm every day. Not here, but as you're working, as you're cleaning, whatever you're doing. That's the norm. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, communing with God becomes the norm. So I have a question. Have you experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit? When I was being interviewed for my ordination, that was the one question that haunted, that am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit? So I have a question. This is the first question this morning. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you? It's possible to be born again and not. It's possible that you have been born again, that you received the Holy Spirit, but you've not invited Him to take control of everything. And it's not a one and done. Luke 11:11, one of my favorite passages. If you being evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. If a son asks for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Did anyone give their kids a scorpion? My parents threatened on giving me bricks and coal, but I never got them. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? And this isn't a one and done. It says we need to fervently ask and seek and keep asking like the persistent widow. And so my question is, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have I been? I leak. Tuesday afternoon, I leaked. I was empty. I was self in control. I need it refilled. I need it multiple times a day. And so, I'm just going to have prayer. And no, the sermon isn't over and we're not done yet. But here's the question. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you, the Christian life is not possible without the ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And there's no magic in the prayer. It's from our heart. We have to plead for it. And it may not happen right away. It may happen while you're driving down the road. It may happen when you're on your knees. It may happen. It happened to me the first time when I was in Argentina. And a young lady came to me and said, I have evil spirits. Can you help me? And I said, there's the missionary. Help. That morning, my devotions was John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God was at work. He was at work that morning in my devotions. That evening, that young lady asked me. I realized I got nothing. Believe it or not, I thought I had something to offer to God. I thought I had something to offer to God. I was a diesel mechanic, an auto mechanic, welding, refrigeration, pilot's license. I thought I had something to offer to God. That was how arrogant I was. How about you? If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? So I'm just going to have a time of prayer. It's all voluntary and there's no magic. It's got to come from the heart and you got to desire it. You got to want it. You got to seek it and keep asking. And he might just fill you right now. He may later today. It's all in his timing. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I believe that your Spirit impressed upon me this portion of this message to directly ask the question. I've already asked forgiveness for Tuesday, and I thank you that you've forgiven me. Dear Father in heaven, as Jesus said, if you being evil and you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? Please. Please, Father, I ask for myself. I ask for us. Please, fill me, fill us with the promised Holy Spirit. May we encounter you in new ways. May the Holy Spirit come and put self to death. Please. From our hearts, Father in heaven, I acknowledge that I am evil. And even being an evil dad, I try and give good gifts to my children. How much more will your Father in heaven give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? Please. Hear our prayers. We intently ask to be filled with you, promised Holy Spirit. Please come in your time, however you choose. Please come. Abba, Father, I ask these things and I ask them in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, some people, that encounter is overwhelming. Some people, it's just you sense his presence. Please seek Him, and ask the Holy Spirit. I ask every single day. The next thing, they worship in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit must be the one in us, in truth. What does He mean by in truth? What does that mean, in truth? Now, there's all kinds of different understandings and interpretations. I believe it means Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh through the Father but by Me. I believe that this is about Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And I also believe in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 is something that I quote just about every single day. Galatians 2:20, this is the Apostle Paul saying, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Literally, every morning in the shower, I claim this. Holy Spirit, please come. Please come and crucify self in me. Please make these words of Paul a present reality. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the flesh, I'm quoting King James Version, this is NIV. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Now, I just created another slide to try and help understand this. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the new birth occurs. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're able to commune with God. Ephesians 4, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. But what I'm talking about is, and now this is a progression. You just have one or two of these in your sermon notes. So being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're born again, and now the Holy Spirit is, we're being filled by the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling all of us. And here's what I think happens when we walk in death to self. My soul and spirit, who inhabits them? Read it. What's it say? Can you read it? Jesus. My body and my soul, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. So that when literally I'm in debt to self, when I'm walking in debt to self and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, you know who people see? Jesus. They don't see us. They ask questions. What's different about you? What's this? What's that? They see Jesus in us. And that's what the world needs. But you know what the world sees nowadays? It's carnal Christians. Us acting just like I was Tuesday afternoon, ready to kick his butt. I'm glad I was quiet. I am so thankful God sent Barry. Because Barry was kind to him, asked him what was going on, and invited him back to church. Didn't you? And afterward, Barry said, man, I love this kind of stuff. Did you? Is that God? Can we say amen? God is at work. God wants to do it. Hey, if I fumble the ball, guess what? He's got someone else there. Now, I don't want to fumble the ball. I hated fumble the ball. How many here like missing foul shots? Anyone know what I'm talking about? I hate it. And believe me, when I played sports, give me the ball, I'll make it. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Lacrosse or whatever, give me the ball, I'll make it happen. I hate not winning. Now, you guys already know that about me, right? But I want that under the control of the Holy Spirit, so it's Jesus flowing through me. Because that young man didn't need Jeff, he needed Jesus. That young man didn't need Barry, He needed Jesus in Barry. And now, what are the chances that Barry would run into him again? I mean, I'm not saying his name. I know his name because I've been praying for him. I didn't want to use it to embarrass him. God is at work. God wants to use turkeys like me and you. Isn't that amazing? And he doesn't give up on us. I'd have done given up. Well, I'd have benched me. If I was a lacrosse captain, I'd have benched me. Amen? But God doesn't. He doesn't. You may be thinking here, I've blown it. You don't know it. You don't understand, preacher. You don't understand. No, I do understand. God not only loves you, he likes you. And he delights in working through you. He wants to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we are full of him over and over and over again, and that self, so that literally people don't see Jeff, they don't see a body and a soul, they see Jesus Christ. Communing with, when this happens, communing with God is the norm. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? You know how good you feel in church? You may not feel good right now, but you know how good you feel in church and worship and all that? That's the norm. That's the norm when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we let the Holy Spirit crucify self so that literally people see Christ in us and you start seeing God at work all over the place and you just let him flow through you. Just like Barry did with that guy, I'm ready to kick his butt. I literally have my hand on my gun. And Barry's chatting up and inviting him to church. Getting him a bottle of water. I'm ready to dial the cops. I've already said it. What's one of the keys? Daily claiming, Galatians 2:20. And now that you guys know how messed up I really am, I have to claim 2:20 more than once a day. More than once a day. Because I start off well in the shower, man. I claim it in the shower, filling of the Holy Spirit, death to self, cleanse me, fill me with yourself, use me. And man, sometimes it's only a little while later that the Holy Spirit's whispering, that isn't me, that's you again. And I go through the whole process all over again. Every day claiming, daily claiming, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Father, I can't do this to myself. I don't know how to do it myself. Holy Spirit, please crucify self in me. Please. I don't know how to do it, but I believe he can. Just honest prayers. I don't care where you're at. Honest prayers with God. I don't care if you think the pastor's crazy. Tell God, pastor's crazy. Please tell me the real truth. Be honest with God. He already knows. And by honest, I mean humility. God, I blew this. God, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know. I can't. I don't. Please fill me with yourself. That's where I am on my journey. And I'm simply inviting you guys to come along on the journey. It's the most exciting, blessed journey. It's scary. In the Chronicles of Narnia, as it says, Aslan, he's not safe, but he's good. God is not safe. But he's good. He may bring you someone just like he did in this parking lot. Wasn't a safe situation. I responded in the flesh. Barry responded in the spirit. This walk I'm talking about, it's not a safe walk, but it's a good walk. Because God is good. And we can walk in intimacy with him. And by the way, the next slide is important. There is no magic in worship. There's no magic in worship. There is no magic in worship. There just isn't. We're going to talk about that next week even more. It's from the heart. So, my challenge, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And to me, there's two aspects. Asking for the Holy Spirit, and then asking for the Holy Spirit to crucify self. And he will meet each one of us uniquely and transform each one of us. And will you fail? I hope so, because I do. I don't hope you fail. But I'm telling you, no one bats a thousand. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And I'm sure Barry doesn't do it right all the time. Do you, Barry? No one does it right all the time. No one does it right all the time. But God loves you. And he likes you. There are only happy mistakes. There's only happy mistakes. There's nothing that God can't fix. Amen? Please, please. Stand with me and let's pray. And again, just open your heart out to the Lord. And then we're going to close with worship and then a benediction. Father God, you're so good. You're so awesome. You're so amazing. Please, 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 I plead with you to fill me, to fill us with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And Holy Spirit, as you fill us, as we encounter you, please crucify self in me and in us. Somehow make those words of Paul an ongoing present reality, because that's the implication in that passage. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come and crucify self. Jesus, come and abide and fill these temples. Fill us and use us. So that literally others will see Christ in us and be drawn to you. Forgive us the times that we fail, just like you've already forgiven me. Deliver us from the accusations of the enemy, where he tries to cause shame and false guilt. Deliver us from that. Use us, Holy Spirit, please. Reveal yourself and fill each one of us to overflowing. And Holy Spirit, crucify self so that Jesus can come and rule and reign. And I thank you that you're going to take these words, this passage, these passages and these scriptures, and you're going to continue to reap a harvest in each of our lives. And that you love us so much that you're going to continue to draw us into this journey of intimacy with you. I believe that. I believe. Help my unbelief. I thank you in advance for how you are going to use us this week. How you're going to fill us with yourself. Both Holy Spirit, you filling us, and Jesus, you abiding in us. And you're going to use us this week to be ambassadors of the good news of Jesus Christ. And how others are going to see Christ in us and be drawn to him. I claim that by faith, based upon the word of God. Encourage your sons and daughters and draw us to yourself. Abba, Father, I boldly pray these things, and I pray them in the absolute and wonderful authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all in agreement said, Amen.